Welcome back to Sports Byline, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's 9:40. It's time for SalesportTalk.com. Last week's rundown said Patty Mangan was the host. This week says Patty Mangan is the host. Karen, is it wrong again? Is it you or is it Patty?
I made a mistake. I'm so sorry.
It's you. All right. Last 2 weeks it said...
This is live broadcast, so all of our mistakes are live.
All right. Yeah. Last 2 weeks said it was Patty. I'm just making sure. All right. We do have Jamie Balls back with us. Great guest. Founder of the UK's Armed Forces Equine Charity. And I remember he went through the Churchill War Rooms with you as well. Jamie, welcome back to the show. And what have you been up to since then?
Well, thank you for having me back on. Been exceptionally busy since I last spoke to you. Haven't been in the Churchill War Rooms, but I've literally just returned from supporting another large UK charity with the 80th commemorative events of D-Day. Really fantastic, you know, five-day period. Obviously, you saw our King and Queen over there. You saw President Macron, our Prime Minister, your President. You know, really enjoyable 5 days reflecting on what the great military of 80 years ago did for us all.
Jamie, we really appreciate your being with us. Where are you talking to us from now in England?
I'm talking to you from my bunker at home, my little office I have at home. I've just come back now from Shrivenham, which is in Oxfordshire, from one of our centres up in there, and just having a look what they're up to up there.
Did you get a chance to go over to Normandy for the festivities?
Yes, I've been there for the last 5 days. So I was part of the celebrations that took place in Southsea to start with. I had a great privilege of meeting all the various leaders that are out there. And I was giving a talk on they put me down as a historian. I'm certainly not a historian, but with my sort of 37 years military service and what we're doing now for the UK Armed Forces, you know, I was giving some talks to various people that were out there.
Nothing against gold, sword, and Juno, the Canadian and British beaches. When you look at Utah and Omaha, especially the Pointe du Hoc, that just sheer face where the Army Rangers had to shoot grappling hooks and climb up, that'd be hard enough to do. I don't think I could do it without people shooting at me. I mean, it really is amazing when you look back and saw what Operation Overlord was able to do.
It was, and what the Ranger Battalion did up there at Pointe du Hoc was just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. I was lucky that a good family friends of ours was a chap called Colonel John Tillett, who was the adjutant of the Oxfordshire and Buckingham Light Infantry, and they were the people that landed on Pegasus Bridge. Remember those horse and gliders that landed?
Right.
So I was brought up with the stories of what happened at Pegasus Bridge, and I met quite a few of the individuals who committed to that part of the operation. So it's fantastic. On this occasion, we went up to the Falaise Pocket, and I've never met anybody who's a local Frenchman from the Falaise Pocket who was around. But this time I met somebody who took a hell of a bombardment in that Falaise Pocket, and it was the Polish division on Montormel that would defended Montormel when all ammunition and all rounds had gone, and exceptional bravery over the nights of the 19th, 20th, 21st of August. And then surprise, surprise, later in the tour, I met the only survivor from that division, you know, who recalls that evening. So real privilege to meet the heroes of 80 years ago.
Just one more question I want to throw in here. Karen, you mentioned Pegasus Bridge. Piper Bill bought the bagpipes down, right?
He did. So what happened, a chap called John Howard was taken. The Locks and Bucks were taken out of the line in 1943, placed in a secret location in UK, and then spent just under 2 years rehearsing for that operation. And they landed within 50 metres of the bridge, took the bridge, prevented the bridge from being blown up, and then they were relieved by Lord Lovett's brigade that came across, and Piper Bill Mullen, that's the one you've seen in the film, The Longest Day, you know, as they in the early hours of the morning.
You know, Jamie, I am so deeply appreciative for the men and women and all in service from all of the different countries that participated in these events that contribute to our freedom. And one of the things that seems to be so important too is honoring, and not only honoring but helping our veterans. And this is one of the reasons why I agreed to be international ambassador for the Armed Forces Equine Charity. And I wanted to just for a moment, before we talk about the charity itself, talk about the gala at Windsor Castle that Dr. Alessandra Sherman, as ambassador for Oxfordshire, hosted when we were there on May 1st in Windsor Castle. Can you tell us a little bit about the ambassador structure and how the ambassadors work within the charity?
Yes, so Karen, well, first of all, thank you for being our international ambassador and being such a good one at it. So the system with our charity is we have an ambassador, not quite per county in UK, so per state in the US, and they're volunteers. They are normally individuals who have done some service to, as a Lord Lieutenant, Deputy Lord Lieutenant, that's the King's or Queen's representative within that state or county, or they've been the High Sheriff, that's the legal highest position. And they give their time freely to support the Armed Forces community within that county. And the dinner that you're talking about, which we're delighted you flew across to join us with, was in a very much a private part of Windsor Castle, and comes about through our royal patronage that we have. And those who were privileged, like yourself, Karen, the 70 people were privileged to dine in that very special, you know, exclusive area within the castle, and then to have the Knights of the Garter give them a private tour of St. George's Chapel, which is where the Queen is laid to rest. And whilst, you know, I was very involved and taken aback by the Queen's funeral arrangements, I actually hadn't been into the crypt. And as I walked into the crypt for as a soldier of 37 years, to see where the Queen was laid was quite moving. And then to hear that she had in the same room as her, her father's studies rug on the roof, just brought it all home.
You were talking about the Oxen Bucks, the Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire Light Infantry, and, you know, fantastic history through many wars with them. You're talking about the preparation for years, and it reminds me, and I mentioned this on D-Day, was Exercise Tiger, I think it was in April of 44, off the coast of Devon, just sitting ducks for these German E-boats to come in with their torpedoes, and over 700 Americans died, and it had to be kind of kept hush-hush about because they were practicing their landings. And a lot of people don't even know about that. So when you talked about the years of preparation, that just kind of popped into my head.
Well, you got to think that, you know, just over 2,876,439 allied people, you know, people because of both genders, you know, from all different countries, different services were involved. That's a lot of people to park in the south of England. You know, we're a pretty small country.
Well, and I have to say that I was also deeply moved by being able to visit the Queen's crypt and also see all of the others, the other significant people to both your country and my ancestry as well. It is for an American who has roots in England going back many, many generations, I really felt a great deal of reverence and respect for that opportunity and for all of those who have served, and especially in this beautiful constitutional monarchy where the King Charles III and all of the royal houses helped so much with the charities and the efforts in building relations throughout the Commonwealth and as leaders in the world. Can you tell us a little bit about your charity, well, I guess I can say our charity, and what this does for veterans? Perhaps a story or something as to how the equine human relation matters.
Actually, it's a perfect lead if you led me down the path, you know, beautifully to it, because in any, you send anybody into a conflict area, and they will come back differently. You know, it may be a physical injury, or in UK we call it a moral injury. And what the charity that we run is to help people both with physical and moral injuries. And I'm not a horse person at all. And when I sort of founded the charity 4 years ago, it was because horses have an ability to sense anxiety and stress like no other animal does. You may have heard how dogs can smell out cancer. A horse is therapeutic because it reacts to what it sees. It doesn't judge a veteran. It doesn't judge anybody. It sees and reacts to what it sees. And in order for a, not to ride a horse, but just to connect with a horse, the individual has to start controlling their own emotions. So when we talk about a turnaround point, that's a link-up point when the horse, for the first time, comes to a veteran who's probably never seen a horse before they start with us. You know, and that is a very, I always say, there's a lot of sawdust in the air at that time, a very emotional point, at which case the door is starting to open. And it's at that point that we can really start to help these people. And it's not just around the horse. It's about where does that lead them? Where does the horse lead them to? And if they're at your sail, talk sport. So if they're into sailing, camaraderie and trust is so important for people in recovery. We will send them off to a UK Armed Forces charity like Turn to Starboard, who does sailing. If they happen to play golf, we'll send them to a UK charity that does On Course Foundation. They don't like gardening, we'll send them to the Fence Gardening Scheme. So it's about getting people out and getting them active. And so I think you have to look at what sits at the heart of it. Yeah, there was the UK charity, which I know has got branches all around the world, Helpful Heroes. It started because it was about, for the UK, we were seeing the moral and physical injuries coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, etc. And we wanted to build a swimming pool, which everybody knows is to do with physical rehabilitation. I would say a horse is like that. It does physical rehabilitation, and there's all sorts of issues. You've lost a leg or lost both legs. The feeling of being able to get on the back of a horse and let the wind go through your hair is really, really important. But it's more than a swimming pool, a horse, in that it does the moral injury, it does the mental health. And we have a number of veterans who sadly have tried to take their own lives and shut themselves off from society, but they come on a course, never seen a horse before, and we're glad to say that everybody who has certainly come through us in the last 4 years is still going and going strong, and some have had some huge success stories, absolutely huge success stories. And it's not just working with those who need recovery. We support service families with their neurodiverse children. In the UK, that's a phrase that discovers everybody who sits on a spectrum of mental health and all the various things that are inside that. It helps with people who've got dependencies. We help with people who've got dependencies. So it's any area. But I think what's unique is the fact that the horse just doesn't judge you. It senses what you're feeling. And that is I call it the access key. It's the access key so that we can start helping people.
I just have 30 seconds. I don't know if you can do it. Can you explain to me the difference between a hussar and a dragoon in the cavalry?
I'm an infantier, so talking of hussars and dragoons is not the right thing. I would say that one has, they both have very pointy hats. How about that? That's a simple one.
Jamie Balls, always great stuff. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, and thank you very much for broadcasting all around the world for us.
And
Jamie, thank you so much. I'll be seeing you soon in London.
Yes, you got another one, and we have a royal visitor for that, Karen, so looking forward to seeing you.
All right. Karen, who's the royal visitor you're going to see?
Well, I am actually not allowed to speak of the actual details until they happen. So,
wow.
Unlike Jamie, who has an MBE and went there with a plan, I am merely the international ambassador for the Armed Forces Equine Charity, and so I am at the service of the country there.
All right, Karen, good stuff. We'll see you next week.
Okay, sounds great.
I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.